Yesterday we dropped off Kay at with her family and came back home to catch up on our neglected house. I haven't done much to the house this summer. Many of you who worked at camp can totally relate to that. I had the Amish boys start mowing my lawn. They wanted to do it for 10 bucks with a push mower. They're 8 years old. I couldn't do it for 10 bucks, so I started at 50 and got them up to 30. So they're mowing my lawn. 30 bucks, they've mowed it three or four times. That's money well spent so that I could spend more time at camp. But then realized there's some of that mildew growing on my gutters and on like the southern and northern exposure of the house. And so I got busy yesterday and cleaned some of that off, but I found a couple things I wanted to show you. So growing in the gutter, well, this was in my gutter. I took that selfie last night. As the sun was going down, I left the western exposure of the house till last because it was getting dark, and I had just enough time to finish cleaning that out. But you see that little knob sticking out of the top? That was actually a poplar tree that was growing in my gutter. There's a picture of it. I think there's another picture up there somewhere. That was it. The leaves are off of it now, but I don't really appreciate things growing in my gutter. I don't really want that to happen. I think there's possibly one more picture of me looking at the gutter. There's me down there looking up at the gutter, and I was able to barely reach it and get that out of there. The way I view our house and our personal possessions, I was also able to get our car listed on Facebook Marketplace for sale because my mother-in-law was so kind. She gave us her Honda Accord, and what a blessing that'll be. So the way I view my personal possessions is as tools to accomplish reaching the gospel. I do as little as I can with my own stuff. Don't want mold growing on my house. That's over the line. Got to deal with that. Quickly deal with that. But my own stuff is just a tool to enable me to share the gospel with the world. And many of you who've worked at camp, you probably went home and, you probably haven't cleaned your house in a while. One lady came back on Thursday, her day off, because we really needed help. And she said, well, I'll just clean my house on Saturday. And she's been helping all 6 weeks of camp. God bless her. So thank you for investing so much in kids. That really is what it's all about. Let me tell you a story about a friend that Julie and I have named Jody in Illinois. Jody was a preschool teacher that worked in Julie's class for many years. And now Jody is a head teacher, has her own class, or has for years. I'm not sure what she's doing now, but we've been gone from Illinois for 11 years. But Jody's a really sweet lady. Jody told Julie about the time that she and her mom would have people over during the summer at their house. And they'd have hot dogs. And then they had a friend that would also have them over. And they'd have hot dogs. And they'd grill hot dogs. And it was fun in the summertime. But Jody shared this phrase with Julie, and it has stuck with me ever since. Let me rewind before I finish that story and tell you that when I moved to Illinois, I had to learn a whole new way to talk. I had to learn a whole new phrases and things that I was not used to hearing in Arkansas. So people, for example, would say, do you want to go with? Like, with who? Where? You know, but they would leave it hanging, and I'd be like, I was waiting for them to finish, and they never did. So I had to learn, some things. I had to learn too, in traffic, I'm not sure people in Illinois really understand physics really well. So I was driving my Nissan Sentra station wagon. It was a 5-speed with a sunroof. I was pretty proud of that car. Tried to take good care of it, and it took me a lot of miles. But I still had my Arkansas plates on when I was turning left off Route 22 onto North Clinton Road to go to the church. But I wasn't pulled all the way forward as far as possible. So somebody with an Illinois plate honked at me, you know, because I could go 10 feet further forward, but I was waiting to use that 10 feet so I could build momentum and dart across the traffic. Apparently those physics were lost on them. So there were a lot of cultural adjustments that I needed to make, and having an Arkansas plate was just an invitation for someone to honk their horn. I learned you don't need an invitation in Illinois. If you don't floor it the moment it turns green, everybody honks their horn. That's just the way it is. So, do you guys know that when the population in a town goes up 15%, when the population in a town doubles, the pedestrians on the sidewalk walk 15% faster. Do you know that that's universally true around the world? That's kind of cool, right? But I was coming from a slow-paced area to a fast-paced area and had to pick up the pace, had to learn some new phrases. But so Julie shares this phrase with me, don't count hot dogs. And I thought, oh, this is cool. This is a Chicago thing. Everybody knows, you know, no counting hot dogs. Oh, okay. So I would say that to people and they'd give me a blank look. Well, I'm saying it to you today, knowing that you maybe have never heard that because Julie's friend, her mom made it up, and then Julie told the story about how since they had each other over often, they wouldn't count how many hot dogs did you serve me last week versus how many I served you the week before. And so when you come to my house, I'm not going to count hot dogs. I'm not going to try to be real careful to make sure that everything is fair. I'm going to give from my heart. And that's exactly what we want to do with the gospel. And I want to show you a picture right now, a map of Israel in the lower right-hand corner that's circled, that's on the Mediterranean Sea. It's beautiful, by the way. If you haven't seen the Mediterranean coast on the west side of Israel, you really ought to think about going with us in January. But that's an incredibly beautiful area. But there's three other places on the map that I want you to notice. As we're going verse by verse through the book of Romans, I want to kind of give us a little bit of insight at that first underlined area there. That's Corinth. And that's where Paul wrote the book of Romans. He was in Corinth when he wrote Romans. The time was around AD 60. And here's Paul. He's writing the book of Romans, but I want to share with you a little bit of what Paul's life was like. And I'm going to read to you a couple verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So we're going to put that graphic down, put up some verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and let's read. I'm going to read these to you, okay? So I'm going to go to the, let's just start there in verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Verse 24, of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. Verse 26, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Verse 27, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. In verse 28, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Let's go back to the map. Paul was writing the book of Romans from Corinth, and people were challenging his credentials. They were saying, you know what, you're really not too much. You're kind of a no-account person. And Paul, I think, finally had enough under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He said, oh, really? You want to count hot dogs? I'll count hot dogs with you. I'll tell you what I've done. I did this, I did that, I did this, I did this, I did this, I did that, I did this, and 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 this. What you got? Come at me, bro. And they're like, crickets. Because most people who criticize do very little. So don't gauge what you do in life by the most critical voice in your head or in your ear. You do what God says to do, and you don't count hot dogs, but if somebody wants to count hot dogs, go ahead. Show them the whole package. And that's what Paul did. He said, you really want to talk? Okay, let's talk. Paul is writing to the Romans from Corinth. He is already almost 2,000 miles by land from home. And as we go through the passage, you're going to see that he's going to talk. He's addressing the book to the Romans, a place he's never visited, which you see is I should have made it a different shape. To the left of your screen, the second line, that's Rome. To the right of your screen, the line, that's Corinth, that's where he is. He's almost 2,000 miles from home by land, and he's talking about visiting Rome on his way to Spain. Let me just ask you a question. It's the first century. How many of you have crossed an ocean in a wooden boat? in the first century. And when you were 2,000 miles from home, were planning a journey of 2,000 more miles in a wooden boat in the first century. You would probably call someone crazy who was attempting this or planning this. Paul wasn't crazy. Paul was doing what God called him to do. Paul was doing what God has called every Christian to do. One of our dear ladies shared a quote with me this morning that I want to pass on to you. Charles Spurgeon said, quote, "I would sooner bring one sinner to Jesus Christ than unpick all the mysteries of the divine word," end quote. I would rather get in a boat and go 2,000 more miles away from home to share the gospel with one person than just stay in my comfort zone and learn more of the Word of God. We took the kids to the wilds at the camp last year, and there's a rhinoceros at the wilds. Anybody remember her name? The rhinoceros at the wilds. Remember she had like this wallow puddle? It's Rosie or some such ill-fitting name for a rhinoceros. I mean, some really, like Lily, some female, feminine. She's, nothing about her is feminine. Ugly, warts, you know, big old horn. But she would just wallow in that, and you could see her from a distance, and she'd be like, kind of like this, like trying to get deeper down in that mud, you know, until she was totally covered. And a lot of us, the temptation that we need to learn to resist as believers is to find some spiritual truth or the Bible and just be like Rosie. I'm just going to call her Rosie since you guys don't know any better and I can't remember. Don't be like her and just like get down deeper in spiritual truth and like, oh, this is so awesome. This is so cool. Oh, that's awesome. I learned some deeper spiritual theological truth. That is really cool. That's awesome. No, instead get in a wooden boat in the first century and go 2,000 miles and tell one soul about Jesus. The thing is you don't have to go 2,000 miles to tell somebody about Jesus. You know what? We didn't actually have to go anywhere to tell 74 kids about Jesus this week. But we did have to set our alarms and get here and be ready with a big smile to print out labels and give them to the kids and make sure the Kool-Aid had ice in it and was refilled and the surfaces were sanitized and the next activity was ready. And we did all that. That's our equivalent of getting in a wooden boat 2,000 miles from home and going 2,000 more miles from home to reach one soul for Jesus Christ, and it's worth it. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Say that with me. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Say it again. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Can I tell you? It's worth it all right now. Because when you walk with the Lord, It's essentially heaven on earth. You know what makes heaven heaven? God. His presence. Guess what the believer has the moment you trust Him? His presence. Do you know you can enjoy intimate fellowship with the Creator of the universe when you walk in obedience to Him? You're enjoying the benefits of eternal life right here, right now, and that's awesome. Can you guys say that's awesome? I don't want a non-awesome Christian life. I don't want a sanitized Christian life. I don't want a less than what's available Christian life. Do you? I don't want a safe version of the Christian life. I don't want what Rosie the rhinoceros has as she wallows in her mud puddle. She's more than 2,000 miles from home. I think Africa is probably where she came from. But she's making herself at home, and she doesn't want to go anywhere else, and I wouldn't blame her. It was a really hot day when we were there last year. But God's will doesn't happen in your comfort zone, and God doesn't care about Paul's comfort zone. God is calling Paul to plant churches, and he's on it. He's on it. And you and I can be on it. There's no reason for us to sit back and not let the Spirit of God lead us to one more soul that needs Jesus. Okay. It's the Spirit of God, by the way, that works in you. To do and will and to do of God's good pleasure. It's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You cannot live the Christian life in your own strength. You cannot obey this book in your own strength. It's the Spirit of God. As Paul got in those boats and and got beaten and got shipwrecked and kept going forward because the gospel was propelling him forward. The gospel, by the way. Get your fingers ready. Okay, let's just do this. We got good at this with the kids this week. Okay, crack your knuckles if you need to. Remember like Michael Phelps, you know how he like when he's getting ready to swim, he kind of does this old, like you've never seen such weird jiggling like of his arms. Like loosen up your fingers, okay? Are you ready? Christ died for our sins and rose again. One more time. Christ died for our sins and rose again. That's what he wants us to believe. His payment was enough. How many sins did Jesus die to pay for? All sin for all people for all time. So, one little girl, after 6 weeks of camp, said to her teacher, "No, that can't be right. It can't be that Jesus paid it all. We have to do good things in order to get to heaven." Is that true? What is Jesus said, "This is the work of God that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." Is salvation a reward that can be achieved, or is it only a gift that can be received? It is only a gift that can be received. You cannot earn it. How precious that this girl heard the gospel over and over and over. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Let's see what Paul said in Romans chapter 15, starting in verse 20, about the gospel. Verse 20. "Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation." Paul was a gospel entrepreneur. He wasn't doing it. It wasn't his competitive streak that was saying, "Oh, I don't want to go take over an existing church." He was saying, "God has called me to plant new ones, and that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to go where nobody has ever been, and I'm going to get locked up in prison when I show up. It's not going to be a church that has a potluck to welcome me with fried chicken and green beans and mashed potatoes and gravy. That'll make you hungry." No, it was instead the local sheriff showing up and hauling him off to prison for coming to the new town to plant the new church. And that's what he encountered as his welcome committee. But God called him to do it, and so he was determined to do what God called him to do. It's the first century. Good thing he did that. Verse 21, "But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand." He's quoting Isaiah 52:15. And what he says is the gospel is powerful. I don't need to build where somebody else has started building. I just need to share the gospel with somebody who hasn't trusted Christ, and they'll trust Christ. Christ died for our sins and rose again. The moment you believe that, you have eternal life. Every single person can believe. We are not saved by what we do, but by trusting what Jesus did. Say it with me. We are not saved by what we do, but by trusting what Jesus did. What did he do? He paid it all on the cross as our substitute in our place. You can't add one good work to the finished work of Christ on the cross. He paid it all. Your eternal salvation is forever accomplished. The moment you trust him, you are saved forever. Everybody say forever. How long is forever? I'm from Arkansas. Down there, we understand that to mean it never ends. Is that what you guys understand? In Chicago, I had to learn whole new stuff. I've had to learn that in Ohio, not everybody sees things like they see them in Arkansas either. I grew up in a barnyard barefoot. And when I wasn't in the barnyard barefoot or being raised in a bus, I was chasing armadillos in the lowland by the Caddo River in Glenwood, Arkansas, chasing armadillos with two rat terriers and an Alaskan husky. You guys know the stories. The rat terriers would run through the woods until we found the problem was this. The armadillos were digging under my strawberry plants. Now it's war. Don't mess. One thing about me, don't mess with my berries, okay? I have blackberry vines in my backyard. I got raspberry vines in my backyard. I planted a fig tree. Julie got me a fig tree for Father's Day. And there were two little fawns that were out there nibbling on my fig tree. They ate the main leaves on the main stalk off it. I was compassionate. I didn't yell at anything angry at them. I just opened the back door and said, hey, stop eating my fig tree, and they ran away. That was nice. That was me restraining myself. Stop messing with my fruit. I love fruit. I was born in California, the land of fruits and nuts. Yeah. Don't laugh. Don't snicker. I see you snickering. Don't. My dad would always say, California is a great place to be from. Then he moved to Arkansas. He said, we're so far out in the woods, we have to pipe in our own sunlight and water, right? Yeah, it's kind of where we are here. I didn't think that God would send so many kids to our camp in the middle of nowhere. Did you guys see what God just did? Do you know what God's going to do on August 31st as a whole bunch of kids are already signed up for our preschool and our no-school day camp and our before and after school care? I'm so excited. If God can pipe in sunlight to a place this remote, and He can pipe in that many kids to a place this remote, and if Paul is willing to go 2,000 miles out of his comfort zone in order to plan a trip 2,000 more miles out of his comfort zone, what can we be doing to take the gospel to the world, not by parsing it out a little bit at a time and counting hot dogs and thinking, well, I gave it the office, I gave it camp, I'm kind of tapped out. No, how about if, after giving everything, we give everything again? How about if we recognize that this life will soon be past, only what God does through us will last? The context of these verses, as you recall from a couple weeks ago when we were in Romans together, he was saying it was the Holy Spirit, it was the power of the Spirit of God that accomplished the effectiveness of the gospel. So yes, you can say the words, Christ died for our sins and rose again, but it's the Holy Spirit that transforms that dead person into a living soul, that gives them the gift of eternal life. My father-in-law was a fisherman. You know what fisherman, and he always would say that it's okay for fishermen to lie, because he would say it's okay to exaggerate and say you caught a fish this big, because everybody knows that fishermen are liars and they know you really just caught one this big. But if you say it was this big, they'll know you caught nothing. Right? So he was always saying, I caught one, and boy, it wouldn't even fit in the boat. Fishermen catch live fish and make them dead. You and I are called to be fishers of men, catch dead lives, and the Holy Spirit makes them alive. See, when we share the gospel, that's our objective. That's our purpose. It's not to get them saved. It's in order. Our purpose is to share the gospel, and God saves them. The Spirit of God transforms them, and the new birth occurs, and it is the greatest thing. Verse 22, for which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. Satan doesn't want the lost to hear the gospel, but you know what else he doesn't want? Paul was so busy sharing the gospel where he was that he barely had time to think about planning a trip somewhere else to share the gospel over there. Ministry is really consuming. It's wonderful, and I can't think of a better way to live, and I don't want to live any other way. But as we plan, Paul was, and I love what Matthew Henry says about this. He's an old guy that died a long time ago, but he's so right. He said, had Paul consulted with his own ease, wealth, and honor, the greatness of the world would never have hindered him from seeing Rome. But instead, he was focused on doing what was good for other people. Paul wasn't focused on what was good for him. He was focused on what was beneficial to other people. What's the most let me ask you a question. If you had the cure for cancer, let's not even talk about the cure for the coronavirus, because it may already be out there. You can't make a lot of money with it, so we're just going to ignore it. I don't know. I'm not a scientist, but you got to wonder, when there's billions of dollars to be made going the hard way, where a lot of people die before it's ready, and we're not even going to try something easy right in front of us. You got to wonder what's up. But anyway. Paul was focused. Okay, let me ask you this. If Paul had a cure for cancer, would he have spent his whole life taking that to the world? Or would he have spent his whole life taking the gospel to the world? Tell me why. Tell me your answer and tell me why. He could have done, he's at an intersection, like the crossroads right over here. He could either spend his life telling people about the cure for cancer, or he could spend his life telling people that Christ died for their sins and rose again. If he had both options, which one would he choose and why? Talk to me. The gospel? Okay. Why? Because you're saved forever. Okay. What happens if you share the cure for cancer with somebody? They get a little bit longer, and then they could still spend eternity apart from God, right? So which one is more worth? If we had the cure for cancer right now, every one of us would get so excited, we would stop the live stream, and we'd get in our cars, and we'd go tell somebody in a nursing home about it, and so they could live. And honestly, we all know somebody right now who has cancer. We would take them, we would stop what we're doing, and we would take them the cure for cancer. We would. Because I know you guys. You guys are great people. You care about them. If you had something that would help them, you would take it to them. Then if the river was flooded, the bridge was out, you'd go find another way to get to them, to get this to them. But it would only extend their life maybe 50 years longer. And that'd be good, but it's not the best. Did you know that oftentimes the good is the enemy of the best? Paul would not have been distracted by the cure for cancer or the coronavirus. He would have taken the gospel. He would have done exactly what he did. And you and I should have the same urgency that he had, not count hot dogs and say, oh, and by the way, I just want to affirm, you have every right to be completely exhausted after camp. For a few days, please just kick your feet up and just, like, don't do anything. I mean, my wife and I have said to each other in the last 24 hours, I'm never moving again. Right? And you've probably been saying that in your house, and more power to you. Catch your breath. But then let's get right back in the action, because on a whim, I saw a Facebook ad at 4 o'clock the other morning. Signed up for this weight loss program. It's a free trial. But it asks you, what is your big objective in life? I'm like, well, I mean, you're asking. Okay, I want to get a well-done degree. That you asked. I mean, I'm telling the little computer as I sign up all these things about myself. The coach texted me yesterday and said, I'm not sure how this weight loss program is going to help you achieve that objective. Could you tell me more? I'm looking for it. Can you pray I respond in a way? I'm assuming this person hasn't trusted Christ, because they probably would understand if they had. Everything in my life is geared toward receiving a well-done degree from the Lord. Not in order to get saved or stay saved, but I want to take care of my body so that I'm more available to the Lord to reach people with the gospel. That is really my reason for wanting to maybe lose 10 pounds. Okay, so I don't think she's going to understand this, but I might just have to say, well, you know, it's a church thing. But maybe I can share the gospel with her, right? Well, why not? Can you pray that I'll do it in a way that she'll be able to not think, oh, that dude is whacked. But I'm going to take the opportunity to do it and say, hey, listen, you asked. Your little computer asked me why, and that is the reason why. I want to do what is good for other people, so I want to take care of myself so that I can be available to help them. So my house, my car, my body are all just tools to be used to take the gospel to someone else. And honestly, I have a stewardship responsibility for my body, my house, and my car, but they're not my focus. My focus is on other people, that if they die without Christ, they're going to spend eternity in hell. And Charles Spurgeon said, I'd rather share the gospel with one person than get all deeper in some theology. I'm not saying theology is bad. It's good. You need to learn it. It's very important that you have good doctrine. Very, very important. In a world where anything passes as the gospel, that anything shouldn't pass as the gospel. The gospel is very simple. Christ died for our sins and rose again. You're saved only by trusting Him. You're not saved by what you do, but by trusting what He did. We should deny ourselves for the good of others, like Paul did. Verse 23, but now, having no more place in these parts, And having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. For I trust to see you in my journey and be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. Look, let's put every... The world says don't put all your eggs in one basket. That's actually good advice if you're building a portfolio for your finances. But let me tell you, with Jesus, the only smart place to put all your eggs is in the basket of Jesus. We talked about in Sunday school, King Zedekiah not listening to Jeremiah. Jeremiah told the king, go surrender to the Babylonians that have surrounded the city of Jerusalem, and if you don't, it's going to cost you your life and the life of all your family members, and your city's going to get burned. He wouldn't follow the good advice. Him being scared to do the right thing cost him the thing he was trying to protect. If you don't put all your eggs in the basket of Jesus Christ as a believer, you're already saved by grace through faith plus nothing. You can't lose your eternal life. But then as a believer, if you don't put all your eggs in the basket of Jesus Christ, they're all vulnerable and they're all going to get broken. You ever collect fresh eggs from free-range chickens? They lay wherever they want to. Fortunately, they have built-in compulsion to announce to the world when they lay an egg, so you can find out where they are. I did it! What a relief! I'm guessing that's what they're saying. I don't know. I don't speak chicken. I haven't learned how to speak Chicago or Ohio. I didn't even learn how to speak Arkansas when I was there. I don't know how to... I'm just assuming that's what they mean. And then you find their nest, and then you keep going back there. We had black snakes in Arkansas that would also listen to this alarm and go eat the eggs. And I love black snakes, generally, but if they're eating my eggs, it's a problem. So I would put avocado seeds in the nest. And I would find black snakes. And I would always picture what would happen. They'd go to the rock to tap on it like normal. They ate the egg. They'd go tap on the rock to crack it. Thump, thump. Thump, thump. Thump, thump! Thump, 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 thump! The avocado seed's never going to crack. I gotcha. Don't mess with my eggs, right? If you want to protect all your eggs, don't put them anywhere other than in the basket of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul did in his life. And he didn't count hot dogs. He wasn't like, well, I've already gone 2,000 miles from home. I don't think I'm going to venture off another 2,000 because, man, I've done a lot. And maybe you as a believer are thinking, man, I've done a lot at Childlike Crossroads. You guys are doing a lot, and I don't know. I mean, I did a lot already. I don't know if I can do any more. Newsflash, you can't. You never could do it to start with. You never could please God in your own strength. You never have pleased God in your own strength. It's God that works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. If God used you last week or last year, it was only because you were available to Him. It's always smart to trust an uncertain future to a certain God. Just be available to Him like you were last week, this coming week. It's not about you doing more or pushing harder. It's about you being available anytime you have breath, be available to the Lord. And that's what Paul did. And he wasn't saying, well, I already did so much, I just don't think I can do anymore. Aren't you glad? Because if he had, we wouldn't be saved. Aren't you glad Paul pushed? Because we're saved. If Paul hadn't pushed, you know what? Most of us wouldn't be in this room. Because you know what we are? As far as I know, every one of you is a Gentile. You know who Paul was? The missionary to the Gentiles. Aren't you glad that he was trying to push another 4,000 miles. He only made it to Rome. He got arrested and got his head chopped off. He never made it to Spain. I would rather get my head chopped off pushing hard for one more soul than be like Rosie the rhinoceros and get all comfortable in my little mud puddle of theology and feel good about myself because I discovered one new nugget of truth that has no application or bearing to the soul that's dying beside me without the gospel. Oh, learn the Bible. I'm not saying be shallow theologically. I'm just saying don't count hot dogs. Let's take the gospel to the lost, regardless of the cost, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And the moment you trust Him, you'll be saved forever. And if you haven't trusted Him, please trust Him right now. Let me show you an illustration before the kids come in. Christ died for our sins and rose again. The moment we trust Him, we're saved forever. I had to wear a mask doing the wedding. 10-person maximum. I felt so bad for the bride and groom. They wanted this huge meeting of cultures between the Karen tribal people and their college friends and family. Felt so bad. 10 of us wearing masks on a platform. And my words were being translated into Karen, so I had to pause every phrase and let that be translated. And sometimes I get carried away with a thought and then realize, oh, this poor dear lady. I'm sorry. I went too long. But I pulled my phone out and I said, hey, how much of this phone's weight is on my hand? You guys answer me. How much of this phone's weight is on my hand? All of it. How about now? None of it. Okay, for those of you who can see, how about now? Some. I'll put it up here so you can kind of see what I'm doing. Some of it. The religions of the world, and I've had the privilege of traveling the world, and I've seen every major world religion up close and personal, and every one of them is counting on their good works to get them to heaven. But the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not by works that we are saved. But all the religions of the world are about works. And I come back to America and I find that in buildings with a sign that says church out front, they're teaching your good works save you. If you're good enough, maybe you'll make it. Here's the Greek word for that. Baloney. You're only saved when you put all your trust in the fact that Christ died for your sins and rose again. You're not saved by what you do, but by trusting what Jesus did. Let's say John 3:16 together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can know for sure you have eternal life. Christ died for everyone. Paid for all sin, for all people, for all time. The moment you trust that his payment was enough, you can know for sure you have eternal life. That's the greatest thing that any human can do at any point in their life is trust Christ. If you haven't done that, please do it right now. With every head bowed and every eye closed, dear one, Christ did for you what you could never do for yourself. He paid a debt he did not owe. He saved you from a hell you deserve to a heaven you don't. The moment you trust him, put all your trust in what Jesus did, you are saved forever. Not by putting half your trust in what he did, by putting all your trust. The word believe means to put all your trust in the right thing. What's the right thing? The Lamb of God who died on the cross in your place. The moment you trust him, he will give you that free gift. You'll be saved forever. You have not ever done that, please, I'm begging you, trust that his payment was enough and trust that and that alone. Not your good works at all, only what Christ did. The moment you trust, you'll be saved forever.